Yeah. Hey, take your Bible, if you would, and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. We're going to be there in just a minute. I want to remind everybody that next Sunday, we are launching our all-church campaign and series. It's called Next Level Living. And so on Sunday mornings, I'm going to be teaching through the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians is a short book. It's just four chapters long, but it is packed with great truth. And so many of those truths speak to how we, as God's people, need to consider how to go to that next level in our walk with the Lord. That we don't want to fall into complacency in our walk with the Lord, but we want to keep on growing in our relationship with Him. And the book of Philippians is so encouraging and so challenging. I'm just looking forward to those Sunday morning teachings. And then on Sunday nights, there'll be a video teaching and small group experience. And so if you've not signed up for a home group, I want to encourage you, even if it's not something you usually do, it's just a four-week commitment. It's something every one of us in this room could do. I don't care if this is your first Sunday at Bethel Church, you can do it. And so there's a place to sign up for a home group out in the foyer. We're just praying and believing God for a great month of October here at Bethel Church, and this is going to be a big, big part of it. So, Next Level Living starts next week. Now, before I get into the Word this morning, I want to recognize a couple in our church that have been, today is their 40th wedding anniversary, 40 years. Larry and Sherry O'Connor, would you guys stand up? Yeah. 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 Amen. Janice and I were talking about that this morning. We were going, 40 years, how is that possible? And we thought, well, Larry must have been like 18 when you got married, and Sherry must have been like 10. And so, anyway, happy anniversary, Larry and Sherry. I don't know, how many years have you guys gone to Bethel? I know it's before my time, because I've been here for 18 and a half, and you were here when? 35 years. Wow, awesome. 40 years married to the same person, and 35 years in the same church. Yeah, maybe those two things kind of go together. Man, wasn't that the presentation this morning from our missionaries just so powerful? That video, and what an awesome thing. I mean, I'm sitting there watching this video, and I'm just thinking, I should have saved that to the end. That video was so powerful, and really it fits so well with what I want to share this morning. This morning's message is not really a normal sermon or message that I would bring. This morning I want to just talk about vision. I want to talk about the vision of our church and to bring clarity to why we're here, to what we're doing, and why we're doing what we're doing. And so that's really where we're going this morning, because I have a conviction, and it was just so confirmed in me as John Davis was talking about the 100 churches. I have a conviction that the local church is the hope of the world. The local church is the hope of the world. Now, let me just clarify that a little bit. Really, we know Jesus is the hope of the world, but the local church is the expression of Jesus in this world. So never underestimate the value, the power of what we do here in the local church. It is so important, not only to our lives and our families' lives, but it's so important to our community. It's so important to Medford and the Rogue Valley that this church has vibrant, life-filled, spirit-filled, Bible-teaching, strong, healthy churches. Amen? The local church is the hope of the world. Now, there are two criticisms, I would say, that this world often makes about the church. The first criticism would be that the church is obsolete. The second criticism is that Christians or churches are too extreme. that we're obsolete or that we're extreme. But you know, as to that first accusation being obsolete, I got to tell you, when I look at the world today and I see what's happening and I look at all the strife and the racism and the confusion and the anger and the hatred and the discord in our world, I would say today that Jesus Christ is more relevant than ever. The message of Jesus, guys, is more relevant and more needed than it's ever been in our country. The church is far from being obsolete. Jesus is far from being obsolete. Jesus is absolutely as relevant today as he was 2,000 years ago. Right? So, and then as to the second accusation of being extreme, I just want to say guilty as charged. Right? I mean, you can't really be a mediocre follower of Jesus. If you're going to be a true follower of Jesus, that's just an extreme thing. And again, when I look at the world around us, I would say this, that extreme problems require extreme solutions. Jesus is not just a way, a good way, a nice way. Jesus is the only way. He's the only way. And I know that sounds extreme, but it's extreme truth. It's the truth. Jesus is the only way. He is the only answer. And being a follower of Jesus Christ has always been extreme. And so we're going to look at this passage in the book of Acts, chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Hopefully you have a Bible or a device. I didn't put this on a slide for you. So Acts chapter 13. We're just going to read a few verses here. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, a member of the court of Herod, the Tetrarch, that's interesting, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. I want to just a little bit of background about Acts chapter 13. The church, as you know, was birthed in the city of Jerusalem. That's where the Holy Spirit was first poured out on that 120. And then on that day, the church grew rapidly. In fact, on that day, 3,000 people came to faith in Christ and were baptized. And in the coming, the following weeks and months after that, the church just exploded, just grew so rapidly. And over the next few years, there were thousands and thousands of believers in the city of Jerusalem. And then persecution broke out, and it forced those Christians out of the city. They were expelled, and they had to go to places all over that region. And what happened, this thing that looked bad, persecution never looks good, nobody likes it, but this thing that looked so bad actually turned out to be so good for the kingdom of God, because the word of God began to go out all over the world. And it was kind of like, you remember when you were a kid and when a dandelion would go to seed and you'd go blow on the dandelion and it would just go out like parachutes all over the place? That's what the winds of persecution did to the church. All of a sudden, this church that was focused just in the city of Jerusalem was going everywhere. And one of the places the church landed was in the city of Antioch, which we read about here in Acts 13. And Antioch actually replaced Jerusalem as kind of the home base for the church. And so Acts 13 now is just several years, many years after Acts chapter 2. And it would have been so easy now for these guys to say in Antioch, you know, things are really peaceful. They're good now. Our church is growing. We're being blessed. We've been through a lot. We've done a lot of hard work, and we've been through a lot of persecution. It would have been easy for them to just kind of settle in and say, you know, let's just have some potlucks and let's just let's just have things that strengthen our church and where our families can grow up and everything's good and everything's just comfortable. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit shows up. And how many of you know the Holy Spirit will never let you get too comfortable? Right? The Holy Spirit's not going to let you fall into complacency and comfort. And so the Holy Spirit comes and says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to send off Paul and Barnabas. I want you to send them out. Now, this, I don't know how they would have responded exactly. We know they were obedient and they did it, but man, that couldn't have been that easy. I mean, we're all here, we're comfortable. It could have been so tempting to say, you know, I like Paul. I like Barnabas. I don't want them to leave. I don't want to. And so they're sending them off. They were going to need financial support. So there's that. They're going to have to send them with some kind of support. And everything just gets, it would have been so easy just to stay in a comfort zone, to stay comfortable. But listen, guys, complacency for a Christian always leads to death. Spiritual complacency always leads to spiritual death. That's true really in every part of your life. In every arena of your life, if you start getting complacent, I'm telling you, eventually there's going to be death. If you get complacent about the important things in your life, if you get complacent about your finances, it's not going to be good for you. If you get complacent about your marriage, that's not going to be good for your marriage. If you get complacent about anything, sports teams that get complacent, that's what causes winning teams to become losing teams. They're so comfortable with winning, they get complacent, and then before long, they're now losing teams. Spiritual complacency always leads to death, and the same thing is true of a church. If we allow ourselves to get too comfortable and complacent, it will lead to death. And church, I don't want Bethel Church to ever get complacent. I want to stay on the cutting edge as a church until Jesus comes back. Amen? And I want you individually, don't get comfortable, don't get complacent. Because when we're really listening to the Holy Spirit is going to move in our lives, and He's always going to be challenging us and moving us forward. Amen? Now, this didn't happen. Thank God this didn't happen. But what if this would have happened? What if the Holy Spirit would have said, hey, I want you to set apart Paul and Barnabas and send them out to the work I've called them? What if they would have said, well, we're just not good with that. And we're just kind of comfortable here. Could you imagine if that church would have stopped listening to the Holy Spirit and stopped obeying the Holy Spirit? It would have been horrible. Well, it's not hard to imagine because churches do that all the time. Churches that stop listening to the Holy Spirit and stop obeying what the Spirit says, they die. They dry up and die. And so I just want to challenge this. This morning, what I want to share with you, it's a little different this morning. I want to share with you specifically about Bethel Church. What is our vision for our culture and atmosphere here at Bethel Church? What kind of culture and atmosphere do we want to have here as a church? Because atmosphere and culture are so important. Have you ever walked into a restaurants have an atmosphere, don't they? Have you ever walked into a restaurant and just looked around and smelled around and you just knew you weren't going to eat there? Right? And it didn't matter how good the food was, you weren't going to try the food. I mean, maybe they've got great food, but because of the atmosphere, you walk in and you turn around, you walk right back out, you say, that's not a place I want to eat because of the atmosphere. Well, we know as a church, we know what's on the menu is awesome. We know Jesus is great, amen? We know that. But what kind of culture and atmosphere do we have that's going to cause people to stick around and listen to what Jesus has for them? Is that right? Yeah. What kind of culture and atmosphere do we want to have at church? Now, this is something we actually teach in our starting point in our Starting Point class, but I got to thinking, you know, a lot of people in our church have never gone to Starting Point, and a lot of people, it's been a long, long time, so I want to just talk about these 12 things this morning, and we're going to go through them pretty quickly, but our culture and atmosphere, what are we going after as a church? And number one is this. This is, to me, one of the most important things. We love and value every person who walks through our doors, and we will take the initiative to proactively welcome and include every new person into the life and ministry of the church. Every person that walks through those doors is precious. They're valuable to God. You know, a lot of people, if not most people, that walk through our doors for the first time, they don't know how valuable they are to God. Maybe they don't believe in God, or if they believe there's a God out there somewhere, they certainly don't believe God cares anything about them. And so when they walk through our doors, always remember, and I remember that just every Sunday I'm up here teaching the Word of God, I know that every one of you, you're going through different things in your life. And I know some of the stories, but I don't know all of them for sure. But God does. And so every week I'm just reminded, many times people show up to church and they're really just beaten up by life and by this world. And when they walk through those doors, I want them to experience the love of God. I want them to experience a God that loves them and cares for them, who knows them by name and knows exactly what they're going through. And I'll do my best to do that from up here, but really, we all need to do our best to make sure that happens. Amen? That we need to welcome people and let them know how valuable they are. A couple of Saturdays ago, I was at men's breakfast here at the church, and Janice went up and was going to go to our granddaughter Elizabeth, who's 5, go to her soccer game up in Grants Pass. So Janice gets to the door, and Elias, our 3-year-old, answers the door. And Elias looks at Janice and says, "Grandma's here! Grandma's here!" Now, you have to know Elias. He just starts running all over the house. "Grandma's here! Grandma's here! Grandma's here! Dad! Grandma's here!" And, you know, Janice felt so loved. She felt so loved. Hey, how would it be? And we don't need to maybe do that, but they probably won't stay for church if we do that, but, you know, how awesome would it be if somehow, without doing it exactly like that, but we made every person that walked through those front doors feel that way, right? And that's not just the usher's job. That's not just the greeter's job. That's all of us, right? You don't have to be, you don't have to have a greeter badge on to be a greeter, to be a welcomer. So this is the kind of atmosphere that we want to have. I read this a while ago. I loved it so much. I wrote it down. Be somebody who makes everybody feel like somebody. Yeah. Be somebody who makes everybody feel like a somebody. Now, number two, our culture and atmosphere. We speak the language of life, vitality, and mountain-moving faith. Nothing is impossible for God. We all know that our words carry a lot of power. They carry a lot of power. The things that we're saying, they're so important. And here at Bethel Church, we want to speak life. We want to speak faith into people's situations. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death." There's power in our words. Proverbs 15 verse 4 says, "The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit." So we want to speak life. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18 says, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Brings healing. Think about that. Life, healing, encouragement, faith. This is the language we want to speak here at Bethel Church. Right? And it's not that we don't want to sympathize. We want to sympathize with people. It's not that we want to give like Christianese pat answers to everything. We don't want to do that. But the truth is there's power in how we speak. There's power in the words that we say. And we can speak death or we can speak life. Life. So that's the kind of culture and atmosphere. See yourself as a conveyor of hope. Oh man, people need hope, don't they? People need hope. See yourself as a conveyor of hope. Number three, we gladly serve each other with an attitude of selflessness. We will have an I'll do it attitude when something needs to get done, and we will serve the Lord with joy. We will serve the Lord with joy. Have you ever been somewhere where it just felt like people didn't really want to be there? Some of you, like work, you know. And or you just different situations where it's just obvious that, oh yeah, they're here, but they don't really want to be here. They're doing this, they're working, but they don't really want to be working. Man, it should never be like that in serving the Lord. Serving the Lord should always be a joy. Man, think about what Jesus has done for us, right? And so to serve him in whatever capacity we can, I don't care if it's scrubbing toilets or, yeah, says our custodian. Yeah, I mean, just whatever we can do for the Lord should be such a joy. Did you catch the guy in the video? I love this. The guy in the video that was there, he was like a cook or something, and he had the big white apron on, and on his white apron he had taken tape or something and put a big red cross right on the... I love that. Man, right in the middle of China. Here's this guy, he's serving in a kitchen, and he's doing it joyfully with a big red cross on his chest. Man, what a great example. And I was watching that video this morning, I was looking at some of the places where these people go to church. Right? Not nice places like this. I mean, just whatever place they could meet or rent or sometimes even outside. You see those guys? They're all bundled up. They're meeting. They're having church outside in wool coats and pants and all bundled up. And every one of them is smiling. They're happy to be there. The joy of the Lord, the Bible says, is our strength. Serve the Lord with joy. Serve the Lord grudgingly. And by the way, never take on a responsibility or a ministry here at Bethel Church if you can't do it joyfully. Just if it's hard, you know, if it's hard on you. I mean, you know, sometimes ministry is hard work. And I'm not saying you need to be yippy-skippy all the time, you know. Sometimes it's just, but for the most part, man, the ministry that you do for the Lord should bring you joy. Amen? It should be a joy to do. It should be a joy just knowing that you're serving other people and you're making a difference. Psalm 84, verse 10 says, "Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked." How true that is. Number four, we hate spiritual complacency. We're going to challenge every member of our church to continually grow in their faith and to expand their thinking and vision. I know that's a strong word. Hate's a strong word. But I do hate it. I hate spiritual complacency. I hate it if I see it in me, and I hate it if I see it in the church. I hate complacency. And say, well, we're not supposed to hate. Well, Jesus said, if you're lukewarm, he's about to vomit you out of his mouth. Now, that's Jesus, guys. That's Jesus. That's what Jesus thinks about spiritual complacency. All right? And we should hate it just as much. We want to always be challenging and growing in our relationship with God. Number five, we are generous. Everybody say amen. We're generous, and we're all a conduit of God's goodness. See your life as a conduit of the grace of God, of the goodness of God. Be generous with your time. Be generous with your words. Be generous with grace. Be generous with your giftings. And I think, honestly, so much of this starts right here. Be generous with your money. How come the other stuff got great amens? Be generous with your money. I'll guarantee if you're not generous with your money, you're not going to be generous with other stuff. All your money is from God. That's what the Bible says. Everything you have is a gift from God. It is. So be generous with what God has placed in your hands. Be generous. Be open. We want to be a generous people here at Bethel Church. Andy Stanley writes this. I like this. Do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. You think, well, I wish I could do this. I wish I could do that. Well, just start small. Start with one person. I wish I could feed all the kids in the world. Well, you can't feed all the kids in the world. Nobody can, but you can feed one. Absolutely. Start with one. Start making a difference. Be a generous person. Have a big heart. Ask God to give you a bigger heart. By the way, speaking of being generous, next Sunday, in addition to the regular offering next Sunday, I'm going to give an opportunity. I'm excited about this. Pastor BJ has just been really working hard and praying hard to have 100 students go to youth convention. And he's not up to 100 yet, but he's up to about 60. And here's the deal. That's twice as many as we've ever taken before. Now you double your investment. That's exciting. Amen? Well, so that's great and all, but we don't have enough vehicles for that. And so we're going to have to rent a bus, which means taking care of a driver and all of that. So it's going to cost about $1,000. And Pastor BJ was kind of stressing about raising $1,000. And I said, don't even worry about it. I said, I will raise $1,000 like that for a bus. I said, okay, you clap now. Next Sunday, you bring your checkbook to go along with that clap, okay? All right. So next Sunday, we're going to raise $1,000 for that bus. Because I don't want Pastor BJ to lose any sleep, all right? It's working hard enough as it is. So we're going to do that next Sunday. Be generous. Number 6, we will share the gospel creatively with the goal of seeing people come to faith in Christ. Listen, the gospel never changes, but the way that we share the gospel with people, that does change, and it comes in a variety of different ways. There's so many things you can do for the Lord. You can share the gospel by baking a plate of cookies for somebody. You can share the gospel through a Christmas musical. You can share the gospel by taking someone out for breakfast. You can share the gospel by taking someone to lunch after church. You can share the gospel by going to the gospel mission and giving your testimony. You can share the gospel by bringing a buddy to men's breakfast. There's so many ways. Inviting a lady to go to women's Bible study with you. There's so many ways, creative ways, to share the gospel with people. And that's what we are committed to here at Bethel Church. This is why every year, you know, we start new things. We do different things. We shake it up because we don't want to get comfortable and complacent. In about a month, our staff, we're going to have our staff retreat where we pray and we plan for the coming year. And I'll just tell you, in 2017, we're going to do some new stuff. We're going to do things we haven't done before. We're going to shake things up. Why? Because we don't want to get complacent. We want to share Jesus. We want people to come to know him. And we're going to do that with all of our might and all of our power and all our creativity. Number 7, we value and embrace authenticity. We are not into religious phoniness. Church should be real, right? Church is one of the temptations in church is to put on a mask and pretend like everything's good, everything's okay all the time. The problem is, if we do that all the time, people show up with problems and they feel like there's no one here that they can relate to. Right? They feel like, man, these people, they all have it together. Look at that guy up there preaching, man. He must be perfect. I mean, look at that halo on his head. Look at that. And so people can be very intimidated by church. And it's not, you know, you don't go around airing your dirty laundry to everybody, but come on, we need to be real, church. about real life. Amen? We need to be real. The world has seen enough religious phoniness. They've had enough of that. And what they really need is genuine Jesus working in real people's lives. Right? Man, that was pretty good. I just said that. Just that wasn't even in my notes. I'm going to put that on Facebook. Okay. Number 8. We worship Jesus passionately because he is worthy of our very best. He's worthy of our very best. Listen, guys, Jesus died on a cross for us, man. He was beaten for us. He was whipped. He had a crown of thorns crunched down around his brow. He gave it all for us. And it's so sad when people show up to church and they can't enter in, can't sing, can't raise your hands. Man, that is so sad to me. And we worship Jesus great around here. We really do. But I believe we can even do better. I believe we can do better. Man, we can just take it. Let's just raise the roof. Amen? Let's raise the roof with our worship around here because Jesus is worthy. He is worthy. So when you come to church on Sunday, come ready to worship. Amen? Come ready to worship, even if you had a hard week. In fact, if you had a hard week, that's all the more reason you need to get here to worship. Amen? Worship passionately. Number 9, we will welcome and seek the life-giving presence of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I can't change anybody. Our worship team can't change anybody. Our building's not going to change anybody. It's only the Spirit of God that changes people's lives. Amen? So we want to be open to the work of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who is at work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each one of us so we can help each other. So it's the Spirit of God moving through our lives, using you to speak into other people's lives. Number 10, we will teach the Bible as God's inspired word without compromise. Without compromise. Here's the deal. There's a lot of churches these days, they're kind of watering down the word of God because they're afraid of offending people. And have you noticed how our culture is so easily offended these days? I mean, you can't say anything without offending somebody these days. And so there's going to be not only cultural pressure, but probably governmental pressure placed upon churches trying to restrict what we can preach and teach from the pulpit. And I'm going to tell you right up front that as long as I'm up here being the preacher, you're going to get the Word of God as it is, without compromise. Because here's the deal. When you compromise the Word of God, when you compromise the truth of God's Word, it actually robs, rather than relating to people more, it actually robs it robs the Word of the power to change people's lives when you water it down. It's kind of like, I think there's more regulations these days, so it doesn't happen as much, but I remember years ago, you'd drive into some town with one gas station, you'd get gas, right? You'd gas up, and you get going down the road, and you notice your car is running funny because you know they put something in the gas. Anybody here relate to that? You're like, for the next 100 miles, you're like, man, my car is just weird. They sold me some weird gas back there. And because the gas didn't have the power that it had because it was watered down. And so that's how it is with the Word of God. If we compromise the Word of God and water it down, we're not helping people, we're hurting people. So we need to bring the Word of God as it is. Number 10, no, that was number 10. Number 11, we will prepare and equip our children and youth for living a victorious life, and we will encourage them to be world changers. Listen, I am so excited about our children's ministry and youth ministry here at Bethel Church, and we need to invest our time, our resources, our finances. We need to invest in the next generation. I'm telling you, you know this already, the devil is doing everything in his power to get his talents into our kids. And he will use everything. He'll use their teachers at school. He'll use government. He'll use social media. You know, the devil will even use cartoons to get into your kids' minds. You know that, right, parents? Right? Don't assume that it's because it's a cartoon, it's okay. It's a lot of demonic messages in cartoons, music. But the devil will use everything in his power to get into our kids' minds, to get a hold of their hearts. And so all that much more as a church, man, we need to make sure that doesn't happen. Right? We need to get our kids established in the Word of God. We need to get them filled with the Word of God, filled with the Spirit of God, and in love with Jesus, and ready not to just survive, but to be overcomers in this world. Amen? And as a church, we're committed to doing that. We're committed to the spiritual lives of our children. All right, number 12. This is the last one. And this is kind of the wrap-up one anyway. We will all take ownership and responsibility for the culture and atmosphere of our church. In other words, that top 11 things that we just talked about, that's not my job. That's our job. Amen? That's our job. We all together, we're going to set the culture and the atmosphere of our church with God's help. With God's help. I want to challenge you today. I want to encourage you. Don't get complacent in your walk with God. Don't get complacent. And we're going to close in prayer, and Pastor Ben's going to come and make a couple of announcements and give you the opportunity to give in an offering. But I want to pray with you before we do that. This morning I was thinking about one of my favorite Bible people is Caleb. Caleb. We first meet Caleb in Numbers chapter 13. In Numbers chapter 13, Caleb is one of the spies that goes into the Promised Land. And remember, they all came back with bad news about the Promised Land, discouraging news, except for Caleb and his friend Joshua. They came back and encouraged the people, if God says we can do this, we can do it. The next time you see Caleb is 45 years later. You read about him in Joshua chapter 14. And in Joshua 14 now, 45 years later, the people have gone into the Promised Land. And Joshua's there, and he's divvying out the land. He's divvying out the territories that the different tribes are going to settle in. And Caleb comes to Joshua and says, hey, remember what Moses promised? Remember, buddy? Moses promised that I would get this hill country right over here. And it was the area of Hebron. Moses promised, and he says, Caleb, I want you to know something. I knew God could do it then, and I know even more now that God can do it. He says, I'm 85 years old. I love this. He says, I'm 85 years old, but I feel like I did when I was 40. I love that. I love that. Man, now you might not feel, physically when you're 85, you might not feel like 40, but your spirit can feel like you're 40, right? Your spirit can still have. And so I want to challenge you, don't get complacent, man. Have that Caleb heart that says, man, until Jesus comes back, until he comes back, I'm going to serve the Lord with all my heart. Let's pray. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Lord, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, you've blessed us in so many ways, God. We thank you for your word today. And Lord, I just want to pray right now against a lukewarm spirit. I come against complacency, God, both in individuals and in a church. God, as a church, we just want to commit ourselves to not be complacent, God. Lord, you've placed us here. You've blessed us. You've given us resources. You've given us a great place to meet. God, you've given us so much, so much. And God, we don't want to be complacent because we know, God, there's a whole city, there's a whole valley here of people who don't know you yet, God. And Lord, we don't want to be the church that's just sitting up on the hill having potlucks, God. Lord, we want to be used by you, God, to make a difference in people's lives, God. So stir our hearts, God, we pray today. Stir our spirits, stir our hearts. Thank you, Lord. And all of God's people, this one should be really loud. All of God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Welcome, Pastor Ben.
All right. That was good. That was a good service. If you need this laminated, come find me. You can put it on your refrigerator. I have access to a laminator in the children's ministry. Just want to invite worship team, if you guys can come up. And also ushers. Ushers, if you guys want to come up to receive our offering this morning. Feels like this was several hours ago, but do you guys remember when, I'm going to say Mr. Davis, but I think your name's John. Dang, I should have went for it. Do you guys remember when John Davis shared with us? Was that awesome? Hearing about the work he's doing and his wife. As we receive our offering this morning, if you want to bless that ministry, if you want to bless John and the work he's doing in these 100 cities, feel free to designate that. That would be, you know, of course, above and beyond your normal tithe, but we'd love to support him because, as we know, we're a church that cares about our world, and we want to see people come to know the Lord. And so exciting to see John and Cindy being able to be so strategic about where they're doing ministry, and that's just super passionate for me, and I'm excited about that. So I'm going to pray, and we'll receive our offering this morning. Jesus, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your love for us. God, we are thankful that you've given us a place to worship, but we know there are people out there who don't have a place. They don't have a representation of a church in their community. And God, we do pray for these 100 cities. We pray that you would give that missionary team of people favor, and God, in 5 years they would be able to do that, that you'd encourage them, give them all the needs that they have. In your name we pray, amen.